Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Fae Queen's Warriors by Tara West. Narrated by Anais Inara Chase. Chapter 1. Kyria wasn't afraid of joining her brother in the afterlife, or even the pain of her bones grinding to dust between the dragon's teeth. What she feared most was failing the child. Would the risk she took, exposing her fae blood to save the slave girl, be all for naught? Banging a wooden stick on her crude shield, a tin lid she'd grabbed off a nearby trash can, she slowly circled the dragon, a primitive beast with fins for legs and gills slanting down its blue neck. A malodorous odor made her want to vomit. She cast a surreptitious glance at the midday sun. The dragon wouldn't last long. Its scales cracked like old parchment. The shade cast by the walls framing the dusty alleyway, where she'd cornered the dragon, offered little respite from the heat. "Come at me, Fanfear," she taunted, referring to the creature as the most menacing of all the dragons. "I make a more filling meal than a child." She ducked as the dragon blew out a stream of fire, then rolled away, jumping to her feet. When it spun around, nearly knocking the slave back with its long barbed tail, she motioned to the girl to run. The dark-skinned child limped away on an injured leg, blood dripping down the side of her grimy face, leaving the lifeless body of her master behind, the blood from the woman's severed head oozing into the dirt. A crowd of spectators gathered behind Kyria, gasping and screaming, though no one dared come too close. Cowards, all of them. Her brave brother had sacrificed his life for those worthless fools. Kyria darted to and fro, while the clumsy beast tried to catch her, its awkward fins kicking up dust. She didn't have a reliable weapon, but she had time to wear the beast down until it expired, rotting in the sun like a pile of fishmonger's scraps. When the dragon's long neck swayed like a cobra in a trance, she slowly let down her guard, waiting for the leviathan to fall. A foolish mistake that could have been fatal if not for her fae-touched reflexes. The beast reared back, the flaps around its long, pointy head expanding like a parasol, and spit a wad of venom. She barely escaped the acid, then raced under its large fin when it tried to crush her. She was pinned against the wall that shielded her temple, the same one she'd jumped off when she'd heard the child's screams. She could easily scale back up, though it was two stories high. But if she climbed it, she'd expose her fae roots. No mortal could ascend the slick stones without a ladder. But if she did nothing, she'd become a dragon's snack. The beast spun around, its emerald eyes glowing, and hovered over her with a deep, sinister chuckle. Swallowing bile, she bid her worldly life goodbye, and sent a silent prayer to her brother in hopes he'd be waiting for her on the other side of the veil. Her only regret was that she wouldn't get to see Alexei's brothers in arms once more. Titus, Quinn, and Theron, the daring and handsome trio who treated her like a sister, though she'd longed for more. The dragon reared up to strike, and a loud horn sounded, followed by the rustle of feet and the swoosh of javelins flying through the air. The dragon lurched and roared, struck in the neck and back. When the monster turned to face its attackers, Kyria looked up at the sound of a familiar whistle. Jade threw a rope ladder over the wall and frantically tied the ends to the turrets.
"Hurry up, you damn fool!"
She launched herself up the ladder, careful not to climb too quickly at first, but then moving like a spider up a thread when Jade let out a hysterical scream. She reached the top of the wall as the dragon fell, the ground heaving beneath it, and Kyria fell into Jade's arms. They tumbled to the hard roof with a thud, and pain shot up her side. Gasping, she blinked at her friend, noting how flushed she was, almost the color of her strawberry blonde hair. Jade hugged her tightly, sobbing into her hair.
"I thought I'd lost you."
Kyria returned her best friend's hug. "The luck of the goddess was on my side."
"The luck of the idiots is more like it,"
Jade grumbled, planting a big sloppy kiss on Kyria's mouth. Jade was right. Never before had she taken such risks. If the king suspected she had fae blood, he'd execute her entire family. Kyria kissed Jade back, tasting the remnants of spiced wine, not minding that Jade had been drinking before dinner. She pulled Jade to her feet. It's not safe here. The wall might have been compromised. She scanned the wide, sand-colored bricks below for damage. Luckily, the bulk of the dragon had hit the ground. Only a portion of its long, scaly neck was pressed against the wall, and she saw no visible cracks or dents. Her jaw dropped when she caught sight of two translucent membranes resembling large hummingbird wings hanging from its back. The water monster had wings? How could that be? She thought the dragon had escaped its captors at the Colosseum. But if this leviathan had flown from the sea, were there more monsters like it? Would the rebel dragon defenders save them, or would their city fall to the beasts? Jade, are you seeing what I'm seeing? She pointed to the creature. Jade peered over the wall. Great goddess, save us. The knights who'd swarmed the dragon looked up at them with scowls, waving them back.
Thank you, Kyria called.
Clear the area, a guard commanded.
Kyria grumbled, pulling back. They must not know who my brother was. I think they've got bigger problems, Jade whispered, clutching her gut and looking like she was about to vomit.
They don't give a damn who your brother was, and neither do I,
a familiar voice shrieked. Cringing, Kyria faced the one creature she loathed almost as much as dragons, her temple's high priestess, and her daily source of misery, Melandrius. The matronly woman stalked toward her, the fine silk of her flowing robe swirling around her feet. What in 10 hell's name were you thinking? The lines framing her eyes tightened, made more pronounced by the thick eyeliner and paints she wore. Some days Kyria thought Melandrius's face resembled an artist's smeared palette. Kyria refused to be intimidated by the woman who was as tall as she was, but only because of her heels.
It was about to kill a child. A slave child.
Melandrius threw up her hands.
A child, nonetheless, who isn't worth a fraction of your bride price. Do you know how much money you could have cost me?
Melandrius waved a finger in her face.
And your parents, for I'd make them pay me back every last coin for your stupidity.
She opened her mouth to issue a retort, but Jade elbowed her in the ribs and she hung her head.
Yes, Your Grace, your foolish bravery was for nothing.
She snorted, tossing a long silvery braid over her shoulder.
The child is to be executed.
What? Kyria's hand flew to her throat as panic numbed her brain.
Why?
A slight smile tugged at the corners of the High Priestess's mouth.
For failing to protect her master. What was she to do?
White-hot rage shot through her.
She can't be older than 10.
She should have given her life to the dragon, Melandrius said haughtily, giving her master a chance to escape.
That's ridiculous.
Is it? What's ridiculous is a priestess of Cayenne risking her life for a slave. You will pay for your temerity. I want every chamber pot in this temple scrubbed until it gleams. Bile rose in Kyria's throat.
Disgusting.
The matron arched a thin brow.
Shall I have you scrub the guards' shit pails as well?
Jade pinched Kyria's arm and she said,
No, Your Grace.
Angry at being forced to cower, she glared at her nemesis from beneath her lashes.
Good.
A serpentine gleam flashed in Melandrius's eyes. See that it's done before the banquet tomorrow night, where you will be presented to the lesser nobility with the other Zetas.
A Zeta? Kyria shook with rage. But I'm an Alpha. You can't strip me of my rank.
I just did. A wicked grin cracked the lines around her mouth. And I will demote you to Omega, if you keep giving me lip. Kyria gritted her teeth against the half-dozen insults forming on her tongue. Jade tightened her hold on her elbow, grinding her nails into her skin.
Don't, she whispered. Think of your parents.
Melandrius flashed a mocking smile.
Do you have anything else to say?
No, Your Grace. Jade was right. Damn her.
As her parents' only living child, she wouldn't be able to stomach the look of shame in their eyes if she married beneath her station.
Are you sure?
Melandrius asked in a sing-song tone. I would love to make you a fishmonger's bride. She thoughtfully tapped her chin. Or maybe I'll wed you to a slave trader. Kyria balled her hands into fists.
I touched a nerve.
She let out a grating laugh. Slave trader it is. She strutted across the bridge that led to the stairs, her laughter echoing off the stones. Kyria had to work hard to unclench her jaw. I hate that woman. Calm down, Jade said, rubbing her back. She can't marry you to a slave trader. Even she's aware of the influence of your brother's legacy. Shaking off her friend, she stormed to the stairs. I hope she does marry me to a slaver so I can slit his throat while he sleeps. Tired and sore, Kyria dragged herself into the chamber she shared with Jade, thankful for the steaming tub of water and tall goblet of wine waiting for her. If only she could wash the stench of piss and vinegar from her memory. Throwing a pilfered pile of clothes on the bed, she greeted Jade with a soft kiss. How are you? Jade asked, untying Kyria's belt. Exhausted. Kyria felt a sense of detached numbness as Jade's fingers skimmed her firm breasts when she pulled down the thin straps of her tunic. Jade whispered, I know how I can make you feel better. Brushing off her friend, she let her dress pool at her feet. I'm not in the mood. She stepped into the tub, sinking into the water with a groan. Jade leaned over her with a sponge, sliding it across her abdomen, her heavy breasts brushing Kyria's arm. Are you sure? She cooed, dipping the sponge lower. Jade's pale skin was an erotic contrast to Kyria's olive complexion and the dark thatch of curls between her thighs. Loath though she was to deny an opportunity to have her friend's deft fingers ease her tension, she gently pried the sponge from Jade's hands. Ignoring Jade's pout, she made quick work of cleaning and drying herself, and then sat on the edge of the four-poster bed they shared. It was piled so high with pillows she suspected she'd get lost in silk and feathers if she fell backward. She slipped into the coarse servant's robe she'd stolen from the supply room and reached for her day sandals, brown leather monstrosities that looked like something the dragon defenders had worn when visiting her parents' home. Her brother had had a pair almost exactly like them. How she loved them, though Melandrius had threatened to burn her hideous flippers on several occasions. Jade planted hands on her hips. What are you doing? She refused to look Jade in the eyes. Going out, she answered evenly, lacing leather straps. Where? Heaving a sigh, Kyria looked up at her friend. I have to find out the fate of the child. Jade pinched her lips together, color flushing her pale cheeks and racing like wildfire all the way to her strawberry roots. Do you want to be demoted to a maker? Twisting her long dark hair in a bun, she secured it with a few thick pins. I don't give a damn. That wasn't true, but the child's fate was more important than her bride price. Besides, Jade was right. Melandrius wouldn't dare demote the twin sister of their nation's most revered fallen hero. Such an insult would cause scandal, and Melandrius wouldn't want the slightest blemish to smear her temple's good name. Curse you. Jade aggressively stripped off her nightgown. What are you doing? What does it look like? I'm going with you. She'd hoped Jade would accompany her, but fear gnawed her gut. I don't want you to get in trouble on my account. Kyria could handle Melandrius's punishments, but Jade was far more fragile. Too late. She flung her dress across the room. If Melandrius comes asking for you, I'll get in trouble when I'm forced to lie. I figured you'd say that. She let out a soft chuckle. Good thing I have two servants' robes. She tossed the extra uniform at Jade. Jade rubbed a thumb over the rough fabric. Where are we going? Kyria rummaged through her capes in her tall oak closet. To the jail, she said, and pulled out a faded emerald cape with moth holes she'd been meaning to donate to the poor. Jade rolled her eyes. Of course, so we can both get raped and watch our bride prices plummet.
We're not going to get raped, she said. Romulus, the head jailer, was a dragon defender. He fought with my brother.
That didn't guarantee them protection from rapists, but she would pretend it did. Tucking her brother's pearl-handled dagger inside her pocket, she patted it for good measure and prayed to the goddess she wouldn't need it.
And now he's a jailer. Jade scrunched her nose. She shrugged nonchalantly. A dragon bit off his leg.
Ignoring Jade's gasp, she climbed over the window seat stuffed with dolls and other trinkets their mothers had sent to them, and with the dexterity of a prowling cat, jumped to the thick limb of the tall empire tree. Holding out a hand, she helped her friend onto the limb.
Don't look down,
Jade cringed, her eyes momentarily closing.
The things I do for you. I know, my sweet.
Turning over Jade's hand, she kissed her palm.
I'll make it up to you later.
She pulled her friend to the rope ladder hanging from the tree and prayed she'd be able to keep her word and that they survived the night. Jumping over a puddle of piss, Kyria swore while they navigated dark alleyways, hoods pulled low. Jade had nearly lost her footing on the slick cobblestones at least a dozen times, cursing Kyria with each misstep. She cursed herself, too, for being foolish enough to bring her along. Kyria had only had to pull her blade on one staggering drunk, threatening castration when he whipped out his shriveled member. That threat was enough to momentarily sober him and send him scurrying back into the shadows. As they walked up the steep hill that led to the ancient prison, with tall grey turrets and an entrance of imposing metal bars that stretched at least 2 men in height, Kyria smiled. Romulus was outside, towering over the other 2 guards while they shared a joke, the embers from his pipe falling precariously close to the wooden peg that had replaced his leg. He blew out a long puff of smoke.
Kyria?
Eyes widening, he tapped the remainder of the ashes onto the ground.
What are you doing here?
She fanned away the skunky aroma. Romulus had acquired the habit of smoking the medicinal herbs after losing his leg, and now the pipe was an extension of himself. He claimed it was the only thing that settled his nerves and dulled the ache in his soul after losing so many brothers in arms to the menacing Leviathans. Sidling up to him, she glanced over her shoulder, not liking the watching eyes of the other 2 guards.
Is there somewhere we can talk privately?
Of course. He led her back down the hill toward an alcove. Heaving several loud sighs, Jade followed them, the pitter-patter of her sandals nearly drowned out by the sound of Romulus's wooden leg striking the cobblestones, echoing across the walls. Inside the alcove, Romulus ducked to prevent his head from hitting the arch. Jade stayed outside, crossing her arms and looking none too pleased. Ignoring Jade's grumbling, Kyria looked up into Romulus's dull brown eyes, noticing new lines drawing down his mouth. He'd lost more of his hair, too. Time had not been kind to a man who couldn't have been more than 30. Her brother brought him home once during leave, but the gentle giant had kept to himself, hobbling around on his makeshift leg and mourning those he'd lost to the dragons a few months earlier. Kyria's parents had been upset with her brother for bringing Romulus home, acting inconvenienced by his presence. They showed little appreciation for the sacrifices he'd made for his country. Ashamed of her parents' behavior, Kyria had done her best to make him feel welcome, helping with daily tasks such as strapping on his leg and collecting his herbals from the apothecary. He'd stayed only a fortnight, hitching a ride to the city in the back of a farmer's wagon. After discovering he'd found a job at the prison and was living with a family in town, she'd written him often, not minding that he never wrote back, and praying her letters brought him some peace. Not until after Alexei's bonded brothers visited her that fateful night, carrying her brother's shield, had Romulus finally sent her a letter. From that moment on, they'd kept up a steady correspondence. Though she didn't want to take advantage of a friend, she was hoping he would remember her kindness to him over the years and return the favor.
The child's life depended on it. "What has brought you out of your temple so late at night?"
he asked, concern marring his wide brow. She decided to get straight to the point.
"I've come to inquire about the slave child who was attacked by the dragon."
He backed up a step, looking uncomfortable while scratching the back of his head.
What about her?
Wringing her hands together, she looked at him with pleading eyes.
Is it true she will be put to death?
He grimaced.
Probably so.
Kyria felt as if her heart had imploded. Clutching her chest with one hand, she braced herself against the wall with the other.
That's not fair.
I know it isn't.
With a groan, he dragged a hand down his face.
Tell me, were you the heroic priestess who defended her?
Holding back tears, she nodded. Grasping her shoulders, he smiled.
I knew it had to be you. You have your brother's fighting spirit.
Is there anything I can do to commute her sentence? She pleaded.
Romulus shrugged, averting his eyes.
I'm sorry. I'm just the jailer. I'm not the decider of fates.
Damn.
She kicked a wet pebble against the stone wall.
Who is?
The district judge will decide in 2 days.
His bushy brows drew together. And he's none too lenient.
There must be some way I can override his decision.
The only way is to appeal to the prince. He oversees judicial matters.
The prince? She'd never even met him. Coddled by the mad king, he spent most of his time secluded within the castle.
How do I do that?
I'm not sure you can.
Romulus shifted, darting a glance at Jade.
He's got his hands full with the rebellion.
Damn. How could she have forgotten the rebellion? This past summer, the Dragon Defenders, the army her brother had died serving, had declared their outpost at the Treacherous Pass a sovereign city because of the king's unfair treatment. Though they'd been rebelling against the king on and off for 3 years, they'd had a tentative truce until their quarrel had started up again. This time they said they would no longer negotiate with the king, that he must agree to all their terms, including recognizing their sovereignty. Among other demands, they said the king must pay them back taxes for protecting the city from a dragon invasion, or they would abandon their posts. She'd always thought they had been bluffing. She knew from her late brother and his brothers-in-arms that defenders took their oaths seriously. Then a dragon had breached Sauran's city walls. Had the winged dragon been let in by the defenders? Or had it simply flown over Perikali straight to Sauran? Either way, she suspected the king and prince had their hands full. If she couldn't count on receiving help from the prince, then she would find another way to save the girl. Batting her lashes, she coyly bit her lip, hoping a little harmless flirting wouldn't compromise their friendship.
What if she were to escape?
You know I can't do that.
His cheeks colored and his lips thinned.
It would be our necks in the noose if we were caught, he said sternly. I might consider risking my own life, but I won't jeopardize yours.
Curse Romulus for caring about her. Don't worry about me, she said. My brother's legacy will protect me.
At least she sure in 10 hells hoped it would.
Kyria, Jade hissed. The guards.
She spun around to see 2 temple guards barreling toward them.
Hey, you two!
One of them yelled.
Dragon balls! Run!
Snatching Jade's wrist, Kyria picked up the hem of her long tunic and tore off, only making it a few steps before Jade slipped and tumbled with a shrill cry, pulling Kyria down with her. Jade landed on her bottom and rolled on her side when Kyria fell on top of her with a grunt. Kyria slid off her friend and looked up at 2 pairs of angry eyes blinking back at her from under metal helmets. Holy fey farts, they were in so much trouble. Chapter 2 Kyria was not surprised to see Melandrius waiting for them, with a long line of shitpots behind her, a greater number than were used by the guards. She must have nabbed additional ones from every peasant in the square as well. A triumphant gleam in her droopy eyes, she said,
I had a feeling you'd try to save the slave child, so I had Cook serve the guards beans tonight. That woman is pure evil,
Kyria whispered to Jade, but her friend didn't respond. When she looked over at Jade and saw the tears welling up in her eyes, she felt 10 shades of dragon shit.
I'm sorry.
When Jade refused to look at her, Kyria's heart sank like a stone. She couldn't stand the thought of her best friend being angry with her.
I'm really sorry,
she added, her voice cracking like old seaweed. Jade tightened her expression and still refused to answer.
I'll clean the worst pots.
Kyria added sheepishly. Marching past Melindrius, she refused to look the bitch in the eyes. She didn't want to give the matron the satisfaction of knowing she'd finally broken her spirit. The sight of the pots nearly made her lose her supper. They had to have come from the neighboring infirmary. Fucking cow. She clutched Jade's shoulder.
Don't look. I'll dump and rinse them first.
Clucking her tongue, Melindrius wagged a finger in Kyria's face.
You will each do an equal share.
But before you start, the King's guards want a word with you.
What for?
How would I know? Seems you're a popular girl. She let out a shrill laugh. Rumor of your stupidity has spread all over town. The two guards held their helmets at their sides and stood as stiff as statues when Kyria and Jade were ushered into the private wine room, which was lit with the pleasing glow of flickering candlelight. The room was soft and feminine, decorated with several low sofas piled with feather cushions and colourful vases filled with fresh flowers. Moonlight shone through the sheer curtains that blew in the portico's summer air like sails at sea, a sharp contrast to the two beasts standing on the plush rug in the centre. Though the space was large, it felt oddly small because of the guards, whose domineering air seemed to suck life out of the room. They had seen their share of battles, especially the bigger one-eyed one, who was built much like Romulus. A long, jagged scar dissected the side of his face with the missing eye and disappeared into his cropped black hair. Instead of wearing an eye patch, he left his raw, empty socket uncovered for all to see. His left arm ended in a gleaming silver hook. His thin mouth was drawn into a deep, acerbic scowl. She imagined it took a lot to make a man like him laugh, like setting a litter of kittens on fire. His friend was a head shorter and had a feral look in his eyes that made her flesh crawl. He had all eyes and limbs, but he was missing an ear. She stiffened as she walked toward them. These were no ordinary guards. They were ruffians. Jade leaned into her, trembling. Not one to forget the teachings she'd learned among the priestesses of Kyan, Kyria bowed politely and then tugged on Jade's elbow, leading her toward the wine server. She grimaced when they set their grimy helmets on the white sofa.
Would either of you gentlemen like a drink?
The one-eyed giant scowled.
Which one of you is the priestess who battled the dragon?
She froze in the process of reaching for the wine goblet and slowly turned her attention to the guard.
I didn't battle him. I only held him off for the guards.
He made a grunting noise that sounded like a bear waking up too soon from slumber and sneered at Jade.
Did you take part in this?
She clutched her throat, her eyes as wide as saucers.
I was on the wall. I threw the ladder down to her.
You threw it down?
The guard arched a black brow.
So it wasn't already hanging there?
He shot Kyria an accusatory look.
How did you get to the ground without a ladder?
She climbed down the ladder, Jade blurted, nervously toying with her fingers. I meant to say I threw it over the wall so she could climb down.
Kyria's breath hitched when the guard leveled Jade with a long look.
Time seemed to stand still, and it wasn't until he looked away that she released a slow breath of air.
Jade had to have known she had Fey blood. Yet why hadn't she turned her in?
Did either of you get a good look at the dragon? He asked.
You mean his wings? Kyria blurted.
When Jade gave her a dark look, she feared she'd said the wrong thing. The guards gave each other sly looks, and the big man's one-eyed black gaze drifted over her, lingering too long on her breasts before meeting her eyes.
Did you tell anyone else about the wings?
She vehemently shook her head. He moved toward her like a cat stalking a mouse, stopping within a breath of her personal space. Grabbing a lock of her long dark hair, he twirled it around his finger.
You swear on the goddess?
Yes.
She tried to pull away but backed into the buffet server.
Why does it matter?
She spoke while trying not to inhale, overcome by the stench of stale wine on his breath.
That's none of your concern.
Shadows fell across his face.
You are not to say a word to anyone about the wings, do you understand? If anyone asks, that dragon escaped the Colosseum.
She pressed against the server until it dug into her backside.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?